I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right. According to Albert Breer, Deshaun Watson, Tytus Howard, Laremy Tunsil, and J.J. Watt are the only untouchables on the Houston Texans roster. You're calling BS on that, OG.
I am too.
Why?
You said you're calling.
Yes,
you are.
I am. Why?
Because it's not true. Let me give you an example. Deshaun Watson, yes. Untouchable, we know why. Okay? He's the definition of and truly untouchable. So you're telling me that the Green Bay Packers all of a sudden say, you know what? I think we can win a Super Bowl. We bolster our defense and our pass rush with J.J. Watt. We think we can get there. Get Texans on the phone. Get the Texans on the phone. Offer them a first this year and a third next year. You have to take that.
What do you mean they have to? What does that mean?
What I'm saying is you can call J.J. Watt untouchable all you want. But if somebody gives you, and by the way, what's JJ's contract status next year?
Nothing's guaranteed.
Not a penny. So they offer you a first this year, which will be at the end of the first round, and a third next year. If you don't all of a sudden say, you know what, he's not untouchable after all, then you're not doing your job and you shouldn't be there in the first place. I just feel this comes down to Jack Easterby and maybe some Cal McNair influence, maybe some other influence in that building. They like these guys. I like these guys. I don't want to trade Tytus Howard, but I would. I mean, if you get it, it all comes down to the price. There is a price out there that will turn your head on these guys. Deshaun Watson, no, there's no price. I mean, if they want to offer you the next 7 first-round draft picks, okay. But that's, I'm talking about like a realistic price. It is realistic that some team's going to give you a late first and a third for J.J. Watt.
What?
It is. If you get him to overpay. I said it yesterday. Dwayne Brown got you a second and a third, and he was slightly older and had played more games than J.J. Watt.
But he probably didn't have as much injury problems. I mean, he did have a hurt.
He had some shoulder issues and I think a pec or something like that. I don't remember exactly. J.J. hasn't looked like he's slowing down a whole lot.
Not this year.
Right.
I mean, not this year. And last year he was playing all right before he got hurt. I just don't think that putting J.J. Watt on an untouchable list makes any sense.
Right.
That's why you're calling BS.
It is BS.
I'm not necessarily calling BS because I don't know that I can trust this front office to make sense. Mm-hmm. So I think that it is a possibility. That's why I'm not as much. If you told me if this situation were in Seattle, and let's say the Seattle Seahawks, or let's say, hell, the New England Patriots. Let's just take some of the best run organizations in the NFL. Like, let's just take that. If you told me that J.J. Watt was on a can't-touch list, I would call BS. But with this front office, before you hire the new GM, and given the fact that most of the guys in that building were part of the regime that screwed this up so badly in the last 18 months or whatever it's been, I don't necessarily think it's BS. I think it's very possible that J.J. Watt is on the don't touch list.
Well, let me put it this way. I hear what you're saying. And right now I believe in their hearts of hearts collectively, the Texans don't want to trade J.J. Watt. That's why Albert Breer got this, in my view, straight from Jack Easterby or via Bill O'Brien from Jack Easterby. I believe in their heart they don't want to trade J.J. Watt. I get it. But let's go to let's make a deal. You know, you just won a brand new bedroom set, you know, in box number 2. But I have this envelope. What if I gave you what's in this envelope for that box? Well, you don't know what's in the envelope. What if I told you there's at least $10,000 in the envelope? Well, all of a sudden it gets more attractive. So what I'm saying is, what if you pick up the phone and you're the Green Bay Packers, that's the example I've been using, and say, what if I gave you a third and a fifth for J.J. Watt? Your answer would be, no, J.J.'s off limits. He is untouchable. What if I gave you a first and a third? There would be silence on the other end because there is a price. There is a number out there that would get J.J. Watt.
But don't you think that it would matter as far as the envelope? Let's say that I don't want to open the envelope because I hate mail and I don't like anything that has to do with mail. Or I don't want to open the envelope because I don't think that it makes sense and I want a bed really bad. I think it matters. I think why you don't want to open the envelope matters in this situation. And we've talked many times with John McClain throughout the last couple of weeks, and he's going to join the afternoon show today with Clinton Show. We've talked about the reasons for why the Texans wouldn't trade J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like every reason he just hikes his leg on. You're not going to get value. He's your best player. Other teams might not covet him as much. And then there's the I don't want to face, or Cal McNair and Jack Easterby don't want to face. And this is from McClain's words. They don't want to face the backlash of trading someone as popular as J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt's the right kind of guy. They want him to be a lifetime Texan. If the final reason right there is why you don't want to trade J.J. Watt, then I don't think there's any offer you'll accept. And I think that's a damn shame. But if that is the reason, if the reason is you don't want to face the backlash, then what the value is doesn't matter, John.
See, I think there's a price for that, too. You can sell. We got a first and a third for J.J. Watt to fans. Some will be sad, but not angry. That's what I've been saying. That's how I would feel about a J.J. Watt trade. I'd be sad, but I wouldn't be angry if they get a good return here. And this whole Titus Howard thing, come on. Somebody gives you a first round for Titus Howard, you're saying he's untouchable? That's the better example, to be honest. There is a number out there for this. There's a price out there for this. To say that they're untouchable, I'm just not buying it. It's just not true.
See, I think the fact that he finally stepped in and fired Bill O'Brien, I think it's commendable. I really, really do. I think it's good, and I think there's a chance. I think there's a very great chance that 5 years from now we're talking about Cal McNair, and we're talking about a guy who is beloved, and this guy's a great arm. He's still relatively new as an owner. But I don't want to be mean, but I have to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Easterby, if he's concerned about how people are going to think about him for trading J.J. Watt, I'm just telling you, because I talk to people, I hear people on the streets, I talk to people on the text line, I hear reporters like Mike Florio, Albert Breer talk about him. That reputation isn't getting saved, whether you trade J.J. Watt or not. Because there is a very, very, very strong distaste for Bill O'Brien. Hell, J.J. Watt said it himself. He said that the best thing about Bill O'Brien leaving is that the fan base and the city can unite. It's nice. He said that. That's the quote that J.J. Watt said. J.J. Watt said it. I didn't say it.
Right.
People associate Jack Easterby with Bill O'Brien.
Absolutely.
And it's almost...
He already has the stink.
And it's even at a more extreme level because he's kind of the guy in the background, and he's kind of looked at as like one of the guys that O'Brien brought in, and then he runs stuff out of town, and there's trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jack Easterby is worried about his reputation at this point, it's not going to be safe.
What are you worrying about?
It's not going to be safe. What are you worried about? It's not going to get any worse.
Yeah, but he's got that ego and that reputation. He didn't want to trade J.J. Watt. By the way, I just got texted. I said it was a pec for Dwayne Brown.
Shoulder.
It was a quad. I forgot. It was his quad, which is bad. An offensive lineman with a torn quad, and he got a second and a third, and was a year older and had played more games.
And he's half the price of Tunsil, and he didn't cost you 2 seconds and a first.
Yes, than J.J. Watt. You can trade J.J. Watt. To say he's off limits, you shouldn't be doing your job if you're saying that, and really meaning it, because Splitty brought up a good point that is definitely on the table and has happened in the past. What if this all of a sudden is leaked to Albert Breer, which is what Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby have done in the past, in my opinion. To kind of say, anybody who wants J.J., the price is going to be a lot steeper than you think it is.
The other thing that I think about if you're not willing to trade J.J. just because of intangibles is I think it's almost, and this stinks, but I think it's almost like the same mistake that has brought us to this point where we're talking about a lack of assets and we're talking about, man, we wish we could take back the Hopkins trade and, man, we could take back the Dwayne Brown trade. Because really what Dwayne Brown wanted was he wanted the same treatment as Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt. And that treatment was that with multiple years on your contract, You go to the negotiating table and you work something out and you figure out a deal. That's what Dwayne wanted. He wanted that same treatment. And they looked at it as, well, you're not J.J. Watt and you're not Andre Johnson. And now all of a sudden, because of the Dwayne Brown trade, you can make a case that you had to trade DeAndre Hopkins, or you traded DeAndre Hopkins and you're in the situation you're in. And, you know, you struggle with the offensive line and all that. So if you are now overvaluing J.J. Watt, not because of actual production, and you're just saying, I can't trade him because he's this type of guy, it's almost like a different version of not understanding guys' value and treating them a certain way. It's like favorable treatment that's not in the best interest of the team, which is unfortunate because there have been four GMs since that time, and you're still doing the same thing and making the same mistakes. That's a problem. If you don't think you can get the value, that's one thing.
Right.
But if it has to do with like him being the right kind of guy, in a crazy way, it's almost like valuing playing favorites and allowing the team not to get better, or even allowing the team to get worse because of it.
Well, again, you're not really, you shouldn't be in that job if you just.
Well, don't even say if, you can stop.
Right.
I mean, like, we're talking about, like, I don't think anyone, they don't want Jack Easterby to be the GM. So there's no, let me put it this way. What would it take for you to see from Jack Easterby in the next 9 weeks for you to say he needs to be in that job?
Nothing. I mean, even if he pulls off the trade for JJ, the one I said, that is not outrageous.
Do you think he's trying to be the GM?
Yes. Oh, come on.
You think he is trying to lay it out and say, I want to be the GM?
You remember
he's laughing at me for even asking the question?
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
I think so.
100%. I remember I did a little digging on this a couple of weeks ago, and I wrote that story about 2 weeks ago about Jack Easterby and a lot of people.
So he's still trying to make a case that he should be a GM.
100%.
I find it hard to believe.
Well,
I feel like he's adjusted.
What cave?
He might lose his job.
Yeah,
though.
What cave have you been living in?
But man, like, I feel like you have to adjust at some point, right?
He is power hungry.
Okay.
He is. He surrounds himself with people of power. He ingratiates himself. He gets people.
So you really think that he thinks he could be the GM?
100%. I'm not even batting an eye on that.
Look how quick he moved up.
Yeah.
But it came tumbling down pretty quick.
Well, yes. Yes, it did.
So maybe he just has to adjust, and maybe he's going to go back to more.
Maybe that's
of what
he's saying.
And somewhere in the middle.
Boy, I'm glad that albatross Bill O'Brien is gone. Boy, everything I told him, he said no. You know he's doing stuff like that. All due respect.
But he is on record saying that he supported that stuff.
Of course. But that's not what he's saying now. He is power
hungry. I find this hard to believe.
Hungry. He wants to be the general manager.
I find it hard to believe. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I find that hard. That is crazy. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. There's a disagreement. We're doing a showdown of potential Texans candidates, and two guys have led to a disagreement among loopholes. Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, and Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. It's very pro Saleh here. We're going to lay out the case for each, and we want to hear from you as well. 713-572-4610. Bieniemy or Saleh? Next.
I'm running it like Eric Bieniemy back.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
You know the craziest thing about, you know, just digging into these potential Texans head coaches? When you hear them talk and you see what they do, it's just amazing that King Bill had the twigs that he does. And twigs means, usually on a coaching tree, there are branches.
Yeah.
These guys are twigs.
I love them.
They wouldn't have jobs anywhere else. I just want to give an example real quick.
It's almost like they're speaking a different language.
They don't know what they're doing. They just were supposed to follow Bill O'Brien around. And, I mean, John Perry hadn't coached a down in the NFL without King Bill. Tim Kelly hasn't. Mike Devlin, don't know why he's still around. The offensive line's consistently a topic of discussion, even after they invest all they did. I just don't get it, but I kind of do when I hear the assistants like Eric Bieniemy, Robert Saleh, Arthur Smith, Matt Eberflus, Greg Roman. When I hear these guys talk, I understand that these guys belong in the NFL, and when you hear the twigs talk, You realize they don't.
Well, you wonder.
You realize they don't.
And I always want to give credit where credit is due. These guys have all paid dues. They've all coached. They should be coaching.
Tim Kelly hadn't, except with
Bill O'Brien. Well, what I'm saying is they should be coaching. My point is they shouldn't have these jobs.
Not in the NFL.
Exactly.
Let me just give an example. Let me just add some substance to what I just said. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. We're going to have a think tank as well at 1240. This is Tim Kelly talking about David Johnson. David Johnson, the in-run back, is one of the worst running backs in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't been good for really a few years. This year, he is top 10 in usage, and he is at the very bottom of starting running backs when it comes to yards per carry. His own running back coach basically said that the way to improve the run game was to play Duke Johnson more.
How can David Johnson be better? By playing someone else.
Coach, what's the difference between David and Duke Johnson? Well, Duke, you know, he breaks tackles and he cuts. That's one of the biggest differences. So basically, he's a good running back.
Yeah.
Listen to Tim Kelly talking about David Johnson and what he thinks of his work so far this year.
Yeah, he's done everything we've asked him to do. He's done a good job coming in and learning the scheme. You've seen him make big plays in the passing game. He had a big 16-yard reception, last week to put us, I believe it got us to the 2-yard line. He's been able to show his versatility. He's had some success running on the outside. And you look at the 13-yard run, I think it was. That was power that, you know, was a designed inside run that he did a good job seeing it and, you know, puncturing the defense and getting north and south. So, in every area, like we talked about.
Sounds like he's talking about Marshawn Lynch. And by the way, he talks about all these big plays that he's made and talks about a 16-yard reception and a 13-yard run. That's it.
The game that he was just talking about, you want David Johnson's stats? Could I interest you in a stat?
The one with the 13-yard run?
He had 14 carries for 42 yards.
Yeah.
Numbers are high.
3 yards per carry. And he's talking about how great he played.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like what are you looking at?
Let's hear from Eric Bieniemy. Let's just compare it because I want to give it some substance. Here's Eric Bieniemy. Mm-hmm. Kansas City Chiefs beat the Denver Broncos. The score was 43-16. 43-16. It was a complete game for the Chiefs. They really didn't have the ball very long. But they averaged 4.6 yards per carry, and they had a couple rushing touchdowns. Clyde Edwards-Helaire only had 8 carries, but he had 46 yards.
Mm-hmm.
This is Eric Bieniemy talking about his running backs after that, in which he really didn't need them, but they still produced.
Right.
Compare that to what Tim Kelly just said about David Johnson.
It does present challenges because we didn't execute as well on offense when it came to third down. We got to be more efficient. We have to move the chains.
Okay.
Now, that obviously starts with us here as a coaching staff. And so we've taken a look at it. We've addressed it. But now ownership falls on our players. And what does that mean? That means, hey, let's make sure that we're studying. Let's make sure that we're out there executing exactly what we need to execute. On top of that, when there's longer situations, let's make sure we're getting the proper route depth. Let's make sure we're getting the proper calls up front to protect the quarterback. And then when given an opportunity, we just got to let it go and make sure that we're getting the ball to the right particular people.
All right, again, 4.6 yards per carry. You really didn't need the running backs. Your top two running backs.
And he's talking about them like they're David Johnson.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire averaged 5.8 yards per carry. Le'Veon Bell averaged 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
You played some backups at the end, and you also lost some yards on Neal's. That's the difference between a good assistant that actually has earned a spot in the NFL and a guy who's just a B.O.B. twig who's only there because of B.O.B.
And you've talked about this. His analysis and intricate breakdown, I mean, intricate, of what a running back can do.
You hear Eric Bieniemy talk about running backs, it's like hearing Bill Walsh talk about quarterbacks.
Yes.
100%. 100,000,000%. I will give him that. I've never heard someone in my life talk about running backs as complex, as in-depth as Eric Bieniemy. It's impressive.
Scientifically is what he's doing, and it's pretty dang impressive.
Here's Mike Devlin. Here's another example of a B.O.B. twig. You just heard Bieniemy. I thought they lost by 60. I didn't know that they won by 37 points. I mean 27 points. I thought they lost by 60. Here's Mike Devlin, whose offensive line has been bad, man. It's been bad. It's really been bad since he's been here. But it remains bad no matter how many draft picks you trade. No matter how many you use. Here's Mike Devlin. So you heard Eric Bieniemy right there. I almost want to go tote that rock. I could give him 0.2 yards per carry.
There you go.
Here's Mike Devlin.
There were nine downs, you could get a first down.
No, I don't even think so. Here's Mike Devlin talking about his offensive line.
You know, so my job is to come in and to do what the coordinator says to do. And we have the same issues every week. And that issue is there's going to be somebody 6 inches from your face trying to rip your face off. So whatever's going on, we better go out there. You better perform. So that's our job. My main focus now to the end of the season is to try to improve from week to week to week.
He's got
to me, you're starting to see that. Last week, in my opinion, we should get that they there were some mismatches that we should have done. I would hope we would have done better against, especially inside.
I feel bad for the players. I really do feel bad for the offensive players. I truly do. When when you listen to some of these assistants and you kind of just listen to how they talk about coaching, how they get the most out of what they got. I mean, the Chiefs outside of, you know, the number one overall pick and Eric Fisher at left tackle. I mean, they it's been a bunch of free agents. They lost two guys to opting out of the season this year, and they had to put in backups on the offensive line, and they're still doing their thing. Like, I feel bad that these Texans offensive players have to play for these B.O.B. twigs. Like, I legit do. I feel sorry for them that they have to do that.
And listen to what he's saying about, compared to like what Eberflus has said in the past, what Saleh has said in the past when we've played that, and obviously Bieniemy as well. Sort of like, well, we had mismatches. We didn't take advantage of them. Just totally putting it on the players. They didn't get the job done. That, I don't like that at all. I like when people are saying, look, our communication, as Eberflus did, as Bieniemy has done, our communication has been a problem. That is not just on the players. And there's a big difference there that players appreciate.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Football Friday. Let's hear from the chosen one, Robert Saleh. We'll also hear from Eric Bieniemy. It's a showdown as well as a Football Friday think tank. 713-572-4610. Start your statement with, I think that. We're also going to win some money with Lee Sterling next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hapadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
It's a bye week. Here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, Football Friday, presented by the greatness of Hapadillo by Carbock. A lot of people want Eric Bieniemy to be the next coach of the Texans. I want Robert Saleh. I think Robert Saleh is the chosen one. Let's have a little showdown between the two, though.
All right.
Before we talk to Lee Sterling, before we make some money. Little think tank, too, 713-572-4610 to get in. Start your statement with, I think that's. Here is Eric Bieniemy's opening statements. The Chiefs are facing the Jets. I think they're like a 20-point favorite. Last time I checked, here's how Eric Bieniemy started his media session in anticipation of the showdown with the Jets.
Hello there, Coach EB. We are ready when you are.
All right. Good afternoon. I hope that everybody is still remaining safe, and I hope that everybody's families is staying safe as well. Last week, I thought was a great example of a team victory. I thought we had some key players step up in some defining moments. But one thing as an offense, we want to make sure that we remain humble and we remain focused on making sure that we eliminate the self-inflicted wounds. We want our guys to go out and execute with great attention to details, but also, too, as a coaching staff, we want to make sure that we're putting our players in the right situations and giving them the opportunity to be successful. So with that said, I'm all ears.
All right, Coach.
All right.
Thanks for letting me have the first question. What about your running back situation? You just brought in Le'Veon Bell, which means that you got to push a couple guys to the back of the depth charts. How about that running back situation and the guys that are no longer getting reps now that you've added Mr. Bell to the roster?
Well, one thing you expect from all your players, you expect them to remain professional. And in this industry, you can't worry about the things you cannot control. The only thing that you can continue to control
are the things that you can. Now, understanding that when those guys are getting reps in practice, they got to maximize those opportunities. The unfortunate thing, and I knock on wood when I say this, injuries happen. But the thing that I always harp to these guys is to understand that you are always interviewing and always making sure that you're preparing yourself to be the starter when called upon. Unfortunately, this is the tough part about this business. And understand it, I've been there. I've been there as a player, so I understand. So it's important that they define their value each and every day.
Right, so he knows what he's talking
about.
He's
hard not
to
like.
I get it, but yeah. I just think that he's in a very favorable situation. I don't know how much of an offensive mastermind Eric Bieniemy is. I know he's going to be an NFL head coach. He would not be my guy.
He's my number two, but close.
He's probably in my top 10, 11.
He's number 11. And I wouldn't penalize a guy for being surrounded by great coaches.
No, I'm not penalizing.
And it sounds like you are.
Well, I think saying that Eric Bieniemy is the reason that the Chiefs are doing what they're doing, I think that's a little bit crazy.
No, he's not Kyle Shanahan. You know, when he leaves, Andy Reid is still going to have a top-tier offense, and Patrick Mahomes is still going to be breaking records. That's not what impresses me the most about him. When Kyle Shanahan left Atlanta, Dan Quinn got fired. You know, it just fell off a cliff. Kyle Shanahan was the reason. Eric Bieniemy is not the reason, but he has absorbed knowledge, you know, every step of the way. And what I love about him is, you know, on the ladder to success, he's taken a step on every rung. He's done it all. I mean, and I love that.
All right, let's see what Eric Bieniemy has to say about Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes kind of adjusting his style, not going for the home run as much. Coach, how about Pat Mahomes getting smarter?
Well, you know, he's a gunslinger. You know, he wants to go out there and show off exactly what he can do. But I don't know if it's necessarily that he's not taking risk. I think what has happened is that he's doing a better job of just taking what is given. Because, you know, those guys are playing far and beyond what we expected sometimes. But one thing that he's doing, he's just finding the open guy. And in those short to medium range, we got some guys that can catch and turn up and make some special things happen. So that just comes with maturity. It also comes with just a growth process and understanding what we're doing, but also understanding how teams are lining up and playing against us. So kudos to Pat. I'm very proud of where he is right now, but he also understands that he got to keep chopping that wood and keep cleaning up the little detailed things that's going to continue to help him be the special player that we're expecting him to be.
Okay.
Yes.
Whatever, Coach.
I do like what he's talked about with, I mean, it's kind of irrelevant to the coaching discussion, but what he's talking about with Patrick Mahomes, maybe it is relevant. You know, it is something that they have instilled in, they being not just Eric Bieniemy, have instilled in Mahomes to become a better quarterback.
Time for the chosen one, the man, Robert Saleh. He is a man that is destined to be the head coach of Houston Texans. He is the man that will bring a Super Bowl to Houston if you so allow him the opportunity. The defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers, Robert Saleh. Talking about the relationship he has with his players, their ability to recognize things, family stuff, all of it. You're going to get it all with this quote from Robert Saleh.
As far as Sunday's game, there was a two-play sequence in the second quarter in which Eric Armstead seemed to know exactly what the Rams were running on those two plays. The second was that attempted tight end screen to Higbee. Does that come from film study? Does it come from experience? And sort of where does he rank as far as kind of knowing what play is going to be run?
To answer your question, it comes from both experience and film study. He studies film more than anybody I've, for at least on the D-line, and that I've ever been across. I'm being completely honest. It was Friday night. Quick story on it. It was Friday night, and I'm watching a movie with my wife, and which is normally date night, and I get a text from Eric Armstead talking about play number 1-2 from different games. I won't call out what games they were and what plays they were, but talking about a tendency that he was picking up. And I said, and so here I am texting with Eric Armstead, and my wife is like, can we watch a movie? So he studies film. He's been through the ringer. He's got a lot of experience on him. He does a great job leading the group and bringing pointers to those guys, and his need for more knowledge rather than just what the coaches give him is a testament to him and why he's so deserving of the success he's had.
There you go, Robert Saleh, guy who runs stadiums before games. This is the most important thing you'll hear today during the showdown. This is Robert Saleh talking about building a culture. Players from the practice squad all the way to first-round draft picks, the culture that's being built in San Francisco, the culture that's been built on that defense. It's the culture that's really going to need to be built in Houston, because this isn't a thing that's clicking on all cylinders. This is a process. This is the guy to get you ready. This is Robert Saleh, the man for the job, talking about building a culture.
Our job to watch everybody, whether you're on IR, you're on the practice squad, it doesn't matter. You're just watching. You're getting reports. You're talking to the trainers. You're talking to the equipment room. You're talking to strength crew, the performance staff. You're talking to everybody, and you're talking to the man. And it's not just me. It's John Lynch and Adam Peters and Martin Mayhew, Kyle Shanahan. It's everyone, the DB coaches. Everyone's talking, and they're all trying to see where he's at. What I think people will take for granted is that whenever your star players are, your best players are film junkies, it only helps those younger guys. They learn how to do it the right way, because not everyone is capable of just going to the football field and playing great football. But everyone is capable of being great film study habits and maximizing their personal ability. And so they've all taken that, they've had great leadership ahead of when they came in young, and they've taken that step and really kind of, they've really built something as players on the defensive side of the ball, where they've just kind of, they've kind of taken it over, and that's kind of what you want. To answer your question, it's awesome.
There you go.
It is awesome.
There you go. You're awesome. You're awesome, Robert.
No, you are more.
You're awesome.
I love you more.
You hang up first, Robert.
That's right.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in.
Let's do it.
It is the think tank.
Yeah, let's do a think tank.
Start your statement with, I think that. Don't ask us how we're doing, because we're lovely on a football Friday, presented by Hoppadillo's Carbach. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think the Texans should reunite Tiki Kuti with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona by packaging him in with J.J. Watt. And in exchange, the Arizona Cardinals will send the Texans a Coke and a smile. How about that?
EA hey. Sports. Yeah, to the game.
Don't get it. Don't get that in anybody's head over there.
Well, yeah. I thought King Bill was gone, but you never know. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think that if the Texans get Robert Saleh as their next head coach, then the rest of the NFL will have to watch out for Deshaun Watson being paired with a great run game and a top five defense.
Dang, there we right, go, man. Right. That's a smart guy, right? That might be the smartest one ever. Mm-hmm. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think that Bill O'Brien is no longer the GOAT.
Was he?
Was he? He was the GOAT? Did that guy think that? Is that one of the guys?
GOAT can be bad, too.
You're on the think tank. Go.
Go.
Choke, man.
Choke
city.
It's unbearable. Unbearable.
That was, we talked about that yesterday.
It's Mike Meltzer right there. Mm-hmm. You're on the think tank. Go. Go.
I think that you guys sold me on Robert Saleh.
There we go.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Our work here is done.
And mission accomplished.
That's all we needed. Mm-hmm. Robert Saleh. That's it. 713-572-4610. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think the Tennessee Titans might give us a number 4 for our kicker right about now.
Hey.
They need it. They have to make a move.
Hey.
You know what? I hadn't even thought about that.
If you could trade Fairbairn, he's guaranteed $4 million next year.
So?
Do you want him? Isn't he really good?
The Titans need him. The Titans are making a run.
They need anybody
that can kick. Dude, that's a great idea.
We haven't even thrown Fairbairn out there.
Trade Fairbairn.
Give us a fourth.
A fifth? For a kicker? I'll take a fifth.
Plus, he's guaranteed 4, but then we'd need one.
So what?
They said everybody else on the table.
So what?
Why are you trying to trade? Yeah, they did say because everybody else. Figgy is right. They did say everybody else.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about that.
That is
love that
ultimate
call.
Idea.
It is.
You're on the think tank. Go.
Yes, sir. I think that everybody needs to, like the last caller said, let Bill O'Brien go. Quit blaming him for all the Texans' downfalls, and let's turn the page.
Did the last caller say that? I don't know. Is he listening to something? Is his radio.com app messed up?
Might be the wrong station. I don't know.
I don't know. Did the last caller say that?
Oh, the GOAT caller just texted us and said he used to call Bill O'Brien the GOAT.
Oh,
Now he's off of that.
I don't think the last caller said that. You're on the Think Tank. Go. Question my sanity. Go
ahead. I think the Texans are just a bunch of Girl Scouts dressed up as football players.
Hey, have you ever said no to a Girl Scout?
Yes.
Dude, I will act like I'm on my phone quick.
Oh.
Because I'll never say no. I'll be on a cleanse. I'll be on a 20-day cleanse, and they try to sell me cookies.
And why are you putting them out there in front of a grocery store?
Let me say something else about
Don't put them out
Scouts.
There in front of a grocery store.
Say something
store.
Else
Make
about
them
these
work
Girl
for
Scouts.
It. Make them knock on the doors.
Let me say something real quick.
Okay.
How the hell do y'all not accept plastic? How do the Girl Scouts of America, a cash-only organization, 90% of the time that I go there?
Because they're laundering money. They're a big, giant mafia.
You're on the Think Tank, Go, and we're going to hell.
I think Dom was right, and La Russa barely beat out Lasorda for the general manager to drop.
93-year-old Tommy Lasorda.
You're on the Think Tank, Go.
I think it's okay to dress up dogs for Halloween.
Thank you.
No, it's okay. I'm just saying the dogs don't like it, and it's borderline abusive.
We got a few texts that said their dogs liked it.
By the way, I got a lot of confirmation on Mary Poppins yesterday.
You did?
She was not a very good nanny.
She was awesome.
If CPS were around back then, mm-hmm. she would have been locked up.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving the kids to go sing with a dude. Giving the kids all that sugar.
Spoonful of sugar.
Coming in through the window and scaring them.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the Think Tank, Go.
I think that y'all need to play the Radio Row Seth Kane Blow Up, man. That's one of the best things on radio.
Oh, well, yesterday we played the Melcher because it was relevant.
Yeah.
Because it was about that topic.
You're on the Think Tank, Go.
I think y'all need to have your text ready and start talking when they say go.
Thank you, man. That right there is some enforcement. That's a loophole enforcing. You're on the Think Tank, Go. Go.
I think after the bye week, the Texans will go 7-2.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
That would be 8-8.
8-8.
8-8.
You have 500 ball club.
Isn't that what I predicted they would go? I think I said they would start 2-5 or 1-6. But maybe go 8-8.
I said 9-7. This is going to be the first time that I had the Texans' exact record wrong in 3 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been on a roll.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think that Romeo Crennel should fire everybody, and then you guys with the morning crew, the whole station.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Let's get it. Let me hire the guys. Yeah. All right, 2 more. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think John McClain holds on to balls longer than Deshaun Watson does. Thank you, Figgy.
Pathetic with a capital P.
All right, you're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard that nobody has mentioned Gary freaking Glanville. Now I want to say something. I'm Gary.
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Right. Jerry Glanville.
Well, let's get out of here. Let's win some money with Lee Sterling.
Let's win some money. Been on a roll, man.
Good Lord. Let's get Lee Sterling here. Let's win some bread. He's batting about 800 right now.
He's killing it.
Lee, you're on fire right now. I don't want to jinx you.
Did you guys get that from Rapid Fire from John Renshaw?
Well, no. There are variations of it around the country.
Yeah. I got it from Mike Reiner out in Dallas. Yeah, Radio Hall of Famer.
Do you remember John the Freak Renshaw?
I remember the name, yes. Did he do that? Something similar? We used to also have like a 2-minute drill is what we call it.
Right. Yeah.
It's always fun, especially if the listeners are good listeners like ours are and they know how to do it.
I think it's the best couple minutes in radio.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lee.
Except for my segment.
Except for what we're about to do.
I think this is the best couple minutes of our couple weeks that I've seen you have in a long time. You're on fire. I think you've lost twice.
Yep.
In the last couple weeks. Let's start, man, with West Virginia versus Kansas State. Always a couple of interesting teams. You never really know what you're going to get with either. West Virginia is favored by 3 in this one.
So the trends tell you to take the underdog in Wildcat games, and they've covered 10 of the last 14. Kansas State has actually covered the last 7 underdog roles, but I just think West Virginia, 3-2, they're so under the radar. They've actually outplayed all 5 opponents. They have that great run defense, and that's how you stop Kansas State here. I think Kansas State run comes to an end. Neil Brown's going to get his first big win. West Virginia, 27-20.
Okay. All right. Good one right here, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Good one right here.
Shut up.
Oklahoma State -3.5 against the Texas Longhorns.
This is a big game for Texas. They need to win the game.
Tom Herman.
They need to look impressive. I mean, you lost the number one kid, not in Texas, number one kid in the country at quarterback. I've seen some film on him. He decommitted yesterday, a four-star decommitted. It's paramount they win this game. Here's the problem. Oklahoma State looked okay last week. It was Spencer Sanders' first game back. You got to play quarterbacks the second game back. That's when they usually look their best. Oklahoma State, how about this? This might be the best defense in the last two decades for them, and that's not saying much, but they've held opponents to 18% conversion rate on third downs here. Series favorite, 7-3-1, revenge for the Cowboys. Sorry, Landry.
Nah.
Oklahoma State
Landry's with
big.
You. Landry's with 40, you.
45-27.
We need a loss. We need a loss. We need a new coach. So
yeah,
I'm okay
but
with
you
that.
Might lose the number one quarterback in the country.
Well, they already have.
Yeah, he's already gone. Yeah. So, yeah. And maybe you can get him back if Urban Meyer comes in, but who knows. Red McCombs, write that check, please. Texas A&M -12 against Arkansas.
So Texas A&M, the key to their improvement is running the football. And they found a back, and Isaiah Spiller. And how do you beat Arkansas? They play a lot of six defensive backs. You run right at them. And new defensive coordinator Barry Odom doing a nice job, but against different offenses. And last two games where they had trouble stopping teams running the football, Auburn ran for 259, Ole Miss ran for 242. Sam Pittman doing a nice job, but they're +6 in turnover ratio. Unless they're +2 in turnover ratio, they're not staying in this game. A&M doubles up Arkansas 34-17.
All righty, let's get to the big boys. L.A. against Miami, Rams -4.
Two a time. It's about time. I think that it was time. He's looked good the last couple weeks in practice. You got to find out what you have. I mean, the bar is set so high right now with Mahomes and Kansas City and these other teams, Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Tennessee. So that way you can fill in the holes next year. Here's the problem. L.A. actually plays better on the road. They've covered 18 of 29 games under Sean McVay on the road. Jared Goff, 9 of his 12 touchdowns have been on the road this year. And now you're asking Tua to go up against a pass rush with Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers. And they're going to have to throw the football and throw it deep, because if not, Jalen Ramsey, he's going to sit on routes. So are their safeties, Taylor Rapp and John Johnson. I think Tua is going to be good, but it's going to take some time. This is not the opponent you go out and you win a first game against. I like the Rams, 27-17.
Man, 18 of 29 covering on the road. That's insane.
Yeah.
You would never think that's been going on.
That is crazy. Yeah. What about this game? And I think when you think about just a hardcore, nice football game, when these two teams are on the field, it's always great, but especially with the way they've been playing this year. Baltimore, a 4-point favorite against the unbeaten Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think these two teams would face off in the parking lot and not even think twice about it. Here's the fun thing about this game. I think actually the team that's better may have a tough time. And I think the better team on paper is Pittsburgh, but now they got to play a third tough game. They played Cleveland at home and played an A game. Then they had to go on the road and play Tennessee. So they had to play the first week against the Cleveland team, runs a lot of two running back and two tight ends. Now they had to play last week a team that runs multiple sets in Tennessee, looked great in the first half, held on in the second half. Now they got to play a third week against now a team that runs a lot of spread option with a quarterback that runs like that. Tough. And then Baltimore coming off the bye, you know they'll be ready. They're not going to let this opportunity go between their hands like they did against Kansas City earlier in the year. So tough setup here for Pittsburgh. And without Devin Bush at linebacker, he's a spy. He's the guy every game has 12, 14 tackles. He's gone for the year. Pittsburgh's really going to miss him. I like Baltimore here, 34-27.
All right. Game of the week is a really interesting one. Tell the folks what that is and how they can get involved.
Must-win game. TCU laying 2.5 against Baylor. They want to get the game for free. Just call 800-400-9741. Again, the number, 800-400-9741. We'll give you that game for free. And what a roll it's been, guys. 7 of 8 winning weeks for my clients. They want to hop on board. 2 weeks ago, we had that 7 for 77 special. We went 7-0. Last week, 9 for 97. We went 6-3. 9 games, $97. ParamountSports.com.
There we go.
Lee, we appreciate you, man. Enjoy Tua Fever out there. Don't catch Tua Fever.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right there. Lee Sterling on fire, ParamountSports.com. Coming up, Week 8 NFL action. What you should be rooting for as a Texans fan. And if you thought that Laremy Tunsil was mishandled, you got some confirmation earlier today. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.